back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch with Tom Ackerman. And as you heard on KMOX yesterday, WashU is one of dozens of schools being sued over how it handles financial aid when a student's parents are divorced. KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris Dell Fisher & Young, is with us now to talk about that and some other legal headlines. Brad, thanks for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Megan.
So talk about the basis of this lawsuit. What facts have the plaintiffs outlined at this point?
Well, first of all, this is a class action lawsuit against, I believe, more than 40 of the nation's top private colleges, which obviously includes WashU. But the basis of the allegation, Megan, is essentially this, that if there are students of divorced parents, that the non-custodial parent, that's the parent who does not have the primary charge of providing for the student or providing for their child, that the universities are requiring that even the non-custodial parent, their financial status, their revenue, their income levels, their savings levels, all of those financial details of the non-custodial parent have to be considered in terms of whether the students receive financial aid. And so the lawsuit's alleging that because of that, that it actually increases the cost of going to college because students are receiving less financial aid because they're having to consider the financial resources of non-custodial parents. Bottom line, according to the lawsuit, is that this makes, according to the plaintiffs, this makes college about $6,200 more expensive than it would if the non-custodial parents' income was not considered in the financial aid package.
Brad, here's a question that pertains to the upcoming election. What impact could the presidential race have on federal courtrooms over the next 4 years?
Boy, this is very interesting, Tom, because as we all know, presidents get to appoint judges. And we always think of the Supreme Court level, but it goes far, far beyond the Supreme Court level. For example, if you look at the numbers from just President Biden and President Trump, that the two of them alone appointed half of the entire federal judiciary in the entire United States. So the question becomes, number one, those judges are not very old in the judiciary as a whole. And number two, those who are reaching what's called senior status at 65, more and more of those judges are sticking around. So the next president, regardless of who that may be, that person will have fewer opportunities to shape and mold the federal judiciary than did President Trump when he was first elected, or even President Biden.
Let's talk more about some election issues. There are courts in battleground states that say they are ramping up and preparing to combat potential security threats. They're looking at what resources they have available because they're worried about a huge influx of litigation surrounding the election. First question on this, Brad, is what types of legal action could those courts be facing during and after the election?
Well, Megan, we don't even have to speculate. I mean, as of today, there have been 165 lawsuits filed in 37 states going back a year. And these are lawsuits filed about the upcoming election. So we've already had 165 lawsuits filed. There's certainly going to be far more filed. If you look at what the pollsters are telling us, a lot of this may come down to Pennsylvania or some of the swing states. And so we know that there will be a lot of litigation. So how are states dealing with that? Well, first of all, multiple states in these battleground states have said that during the election, judges are basically on 24-hour-a-day notice. They can be called in to work at any time. You know, we saw during Bush versus Gore in 2000 that kind of thing was happening in Southern Florida and even at the Florida Supreme Court level. But now, because of the tightness of this race, literally all of the battleground states are having to cancel vacations, bolster security, put up fencing, and then also dealing with the courts, having to deal with all of the lawsuits that we know that will be filed on election night and then the days following the election. You know, we've seen that kind of election litigation right here in St. Louis before, but I think what we're going to see coming up next month will be on a scale that we have not experienced prior to this.
And Brad, when the public expects quick action, what is the challenge for courts in those cases?
Oh boy, that's a challenge, because courts by their very nature are not designed to do anything quickly. It's designed to allow the parties to research, to file briefs, to, you know, ponder or consider the ramifications. And yet in our culture, in our texting and Facebook culture, we want instant results, right? So that in of itself is a challenge, because so much hinges on the election. And yet courts just aren't designed by their very nature to move quickly. So what we're seeing is the courts are making changes in November to try to accommodate the public's desire and, I would say, need for quick judicial results.
Brad, you're going to be hosting At Your Service tonight here on KMOX 8 to 10. What's on the show?
Well, we're going to be talking, and the phone lines will be open tonight, talking about the election, talking about issues. On At Your Service, we deal with issues, not just who's ahead and who's not ahead. We'll be covering all that from 8 to 10 tonight.
Brad Young, thanks very much. Appreciate the time.
My pleasure.